Certainly good seeing everyone this morning, seeing visitors that we have with us. And we appreciate you choosing to be with us and taking the time to do so here upon this Lord's Day. It most certainly is an encouragement to us, but as well, it refreshes us to know that there are individuals that desire to meet with saints and worship God assemble together with them, and to have chosen to be with us, we certainly appreciate that. Sorry about the distraction here. I didn't get that up and going before we started the lesson. You know, our gospel meeting is just around the corner here. In a couple of weeks, Lord willing, we'll begin this series of lessons in which we'll be meeting not only on the Lord's Day, just as we are here this morning and at the times that we normally meet on the Lord's Day, but also on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday evenings of the week of June the 11th. That'll be the 11th through the 14th. And we'll be meeting in this series of gospel meetings. And in doing that, it's a wonderful opportunity. It kind of reminds me of the event that we just read about there in the 10th chapter of the book of Acts, where Peter goes to the house of Cornelius. And wow, isn't that what every Christian is seeking and would love to have, is to come across someone to seek you out, someone that cares about good things, proper things, right things, and someone then who as well would seek out spiritual things, that would be praying to God and seeking to know what is truth, what is right with God, and seeking a relationship with God. Not only that, we find that when Peter arrived there, as we read there in the text, that not only did he find Cornelius, whom the Lord had sent an angel to appear to and to send for that invitation for Peter, but he had called together his friends and his near kinsmen, it says. And they had come together. And so he's invited a lot of people to come. I say a lot. I don't sure what the number was, but at least more than what we see of just Cornelius himself. It says he invited friends and kinsmen to come and to be there. And then for, you know, Cornelius to say, "Now we have come here to hear all things that God has spoken to you." We want to know what it is that God wants us to know. And we want to know what it is that God reveals for His people. The song that we just sang now, good selection of songs this morning. But the song that we just sang is just a beautiful song. "Do You Know My Jesus?" It's just amazing the cares and struggles that so many people are carrying, the burdens that they have as we go through life. And it's kind of like, who is it that you go to? Who is it that hears your cares? Who is it that comforts you? Who is it that you turn to? When you are going through life and you're carrying these struggles and trials of life, do you know my Jesus? Do you know Him who cares and will love you to the end? What an opportunity. And that's what we are seeking for. In fact, that's what's being presented to us in this gospel meeting. I like that word, opportunity. It's a little better than some of its synonyms. One is, you know, we talk about, well, we have a chance to do this. We have a chance to go to church. We have a chance to go hear the gospel. We have a chance to meet. We have a chance for a gospel meeting type of thing. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's a proper word describing that. But chance leaves with it just that kind of an element of, you know, it's possible, but it's possible it can go either way. You know, you have a chance to get this, but then there's a chance that you won't get it, right? Type of thing. And so I like the word opportunity, because not only does it mean that it is capable of happening or occurring, but it carries with it that added idea of something that is favorable, something that is pleasant, and something that we're looking for. And so if you haven't gotten a hint up there yet, you know, with the window and then the word of opportunity in there, this is our window of opportunity. this gospel meeting is. It's, I guess, maybe not the window of opportunity, but it most certainly is another window of opportunity. And some of the things that we'd like to notice that it gives us opportunity for is it gives you an opportunity to be first. To be first. You know, there was one year, I think it was probably about the fourth grade, something about my physical development was at that point superior to all of my classmates. I know, my arm's going to break here in a moment if I pat myself on the back too hard. And that year, I took home all the blue ribbons in every event that I participated in for the school for my grade. Man, I was on cloud nine. I had never done that before. The years before, maybe I got a red ribbon or maybe a white ribbon, you know, and then more likely no ribbon at all. And the next year, it was gone. It caught up with me. It was just, I was just in that window, you know, I was just in that place, you know, where I was just at the peak of my development for that, and I peaked that year, and everybody else then surpassed me. But I had that year. I had that year. Wow, what a year. Fourth grade, though. Man, anyway. So, being first, I mean, we all like to be first. I enjoyed that. That's just about the only bragging right I have in life. No, that's it. I was thinking for a second. But that doesn't leave much, does it? But to be first, and this gospel meeting gives you an opportunity to be first. We like that, don't we? There's that opportunity of bragging rights. I was first. Matthew chapter 20 and verse 27, we read that Jesus said, "Whosoever would be first among you shall be your servant." And so we have this opportunity to accomplish this status of being first among our brethren, being number one. And we can do that because this presents us with an opportunity to serve. To serve one another. And Jesus says, with me you get the blue ribbon if you are a servant among your brethren. If you serve one another. Just something to note in the third chapter of Colossians and in the 16th verse, he says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts unto God." In a companion passage that carries a similar idea to that, he adds this idea to it when he says, "Speaking one to another." And so let the words of Christ dwell in your heart richly as you sing these psalms. And then he says, but that gives us the opportunity to speak one to another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your hearts to the Lord. Just before that, he had said, "Be not foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunken with wine wherein is riot, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking one to another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs." We have this opportunity to exhort one another, to admonish one another, to speak to one another. In our lifting up our voices, blending them together in praise and worship to God, knowing that we're not the only one who like to sing, knowing that we are not the only ones who praise God, knowing that we are not the only ones that adore God, but as well be able to speak to one another, encouragement, words by which that we would agree and amen and say, yes, I would praise God in that same manner. And so we have this opportunity of serving one another, of blending our voices together with one another. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 14 we read, "And we exhort you, brethren, admonish the disorderly, Encourage the faint-hearted. Support the weak. Be long-suffering toward all. We find that we can encourage and support those who are in Christ. That's an opportunity that's being presented to us. We can do that as we do upon the Lord's Day, each week, but here we're going to have an opportunity to get our week started off really with a bang for June the 11th. And we're going to be able to come together with brothers and sisters in Christ, with those who adore God, those who feel about their Lord and Savior as we do. We're going to get the start. You know, we're going to get over that hump day, you know, Wednesday. We're going to be going all the way to then with this opportunity. A great opportunity for us to be number one. To serve one another and lifting up our voices and speaking to one another. You encouraging me, and I will try to encourage you. You know, as much as your favorite athlete or your favorite entertainer may appreciate your cheers, may appreciate that you're out there in the audience telling them to go, 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 or clapping and saying, yay, 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 that was a great song. If you aren't there, I very seriously doubt that any of them will go, well, I wonder where Joe was tonight. I wonder where, put your name there, was tonight. You see, as much as they might appreciate it, as much as they would like the applause just like anyone else, or as much as they'd like the cheers and encouragement as anyone else, they won't really notice that you're not there. But you have an opportunity to be among people who will notice that you are not there. You have an opportunity to be noted to be there, that be able to appreciate and personally thank you for encouraging us, for speaking out in these songs, for just by your presence revealing that you feel about the Lord and about this life in Christ, being a Christian, as we do. The second thing that I'd like for us to notice as far as an opportunity that is presented for us that coming week, just 2 weeks off, is an opportunity for evangelism. We saw that there in our scripture reading, but I'd like for us to turn over to John, the first chapter, if you would, please. And here we find, beginning at verse 40 and 41, he says, "And one of the two that heard John speak," and John had just spoken about Jesus, whom he had seen walking toward them, and when he saw Jesus, he said, "Now that's the Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb of God." And so that's what he's talking about when he heard John speak and followed him, followed Jesus, was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. And he finds first his own brother Simon and said unto him, "We have found the Messiah," which is being interpreted, the Christ. You see, here was Andrew finding an opportunity to introduce his brother to someone that this great prophet had just identified as the Lamb of God. Someone that he had just spent the day with and had, you know, become convinced throughout that day that this is the Christ, this is the Messiah, this is the promised one. And so with that, he sees an opportunity to introduce his brother to Jesus. We go to the 45th chapter. Or 45th verse, I'm sorry, we're still in the first chapter of John. But in the 45th verse beginning, it says, "And Philip, he findeth Nathanael, and said unto him, We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? And Philip said, Come and see. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and saith of him, Behold, an Israelite in whom is no guile. Nathanael said unto him, Where do you know me from? And Jesus answered and said unto him, Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you. Nathanael answered him, "Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel." Jesus answered and said unto him, "Because I said unto you, I saw thee under the fig tree, you believe? You shall see greater things than these." And he said unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, you shall see the heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." You see, it's an opportunity of evangelism. It's an opportunity of saying, "Come and meet. Come and learn. Come and hear of. Do you know my Jesus?" as we say. Can you imagine that you have this opportunity and you invite someone and they come, and just like Nathanael, they said, "That's it. That's him. That's what I have been looking for. That's everything. I mean, he is the Son of God, I believe. He is the Christ. That's what I have needed all my life." Yeah, they might be a little doubtful like Nathanael was there at the beginning, but once they meet the Lord and know that He is the Lord, you see the difference there? Many times I hold back, I think, at least some of the things that I hear and I converse with other Christians about, and I personally understand myself in the idea of inviting someone or teaching someone or, you know, mentioning to someone about the gospel. It's not just that fear of, "I wonder if, you know, they're going to think this about me or what, you know," type of thing. Now, this part I realize I don't really associate with you on, maybe, but I have. I've been there. And that is, but what if they ask a question that I don't have an answer to? Or what is it that I would teach them, you know? I need so much more teaching yet myself. And, you know, if we sit down and they start asking questions and I don't have answers, that's a hindrance to a lot of people. That's an obstacle for a lot of people not to, you know, just talk to someone because afraid of, you know, that they're going to have to answer some questions or something like that. But you see, this is such an opportunity because all you have to do is invite them here and the preacher will be teaching them the gospel. He'll be covering these things. He will be showing them Jesus. And things that he has to say, he has to answer for. And when they've got questions, then you can go ask the preacher. He's the one that said it. You see? Isn't that an opportunity? And so now, you see, you do not have to worry, or you don't have to be shy or afraid and wonder if somebody might ask you something. You can invite guests. And then for those of you, you know, that aren't really afraid of that, but maybe a little bit more afraid of, "Well, I wonder if, you know, if they'll even take any interest or whatever." Well, it will give you an opportunity to find out if they are inquisitive or not, whether or not they're like a Cornelius. And, "Well, we want to hear all things that the Lord has sent you to tell us," type of thing. So, kind of like over in the 8th chapter of the book of Acts, when Philip ran, then 30th verse says, "And he ran, and he heard him reading Isaiah the prophet, and said, 'Understand what you are reading?' And he said, 'How can I, except someone guide me?' And he besought Philip to come up and sit with him." So, Philip from there, you know, found that he was reading from Isaiah, and wow, what an opportunity, Isaiah 53. Definitely there seeking, looking at, you know, this prophecy about the suffering servant. And from there he could preach to him Jesus. So for those of you that aren't exactly sure, you know, if you'll be able to carry on a conversation, you could answer some questions and such from them, but, you know, you're just not sure if they're going to be, you know, inquisitive or responsive about that. Well, if you invite them, and they come. That right there shows a little bit like the Ethiopian eunuch here, a little bit of that character, or like Cornelius that we read about there in the 10th chapter of Acts. But then it also presents an opportunity for them to go, you know, the preacher said this, and the preacher said that, or, you know, he read this passage and that scripture, and you know, what is that? And so that might, if you're the kind that like to answer the questions, if you're the kind that like to get into the scriptures with them, but you just don't quite know how to, you see, it presents that opportunity. Opportunity, see? That's what the gospel meeting is about. Isn't that great? You'll be given an opportunity to be filled. You know, he that hungers and thirsts after righteousness, he's blessed. Why? Because he'll be filled. That fits here, but I'm talking about from Colossians chapter 1 and verse 19 when the Apostle Paul prayed for the Christians there in this community. And he said, I've been praying for you ever since the day that I heard that the gospel was brought unto you. He says, that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. By coming, each opportunity that you have to the gospel meeting in 2 weeks, you'll be given the opportunity to be filled yet again. And to be enriched and come to a better understanding of the knowledge of His will. You will gain some spiritual insight that will give you that spiritual wisdom. And there will be some things that you might just go, oh yeah, okay. And now I get it. And so, an opportunity to be filled with understanding. You see, it's an opportunity that we are being presented with here in our gospel meeting. And the preacher, well, I know him. And being a preacher, I also kind of know that even if I didn't know him, kind of how preachers are. And that is that, at least, you know, gospel preachers, that they are seeking to fulfill and satisfy the charge that the Lord has given them as evangelists of God's Word. Over in 1 Timothy chapter 4, in verses 6 and 7, we find that the apostle charges this evangelist. He says, if thou put the brethren in mind of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Christ Jesus, nourished in the words of faith and in the good doctrine which you have followed until now. But refuse profane and old wise fables and exercise thyself unto godliness. You see, the preacher is going to seek to keep the charge of an evangelist. He's going to seek to know the words and to understand the words that nourish us and nourish him in the words of faith. And he's going to be cautious about the philosophies and the ideas and the ideals and even the false concepts that come into the minds of men. And he's going to put those aside and he's going to depend upon the Word of God for teaching. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and in verse 14, he says, of these things put them in remembrance, charging them in the sight of the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, to the subverting of them that hear. And in the 4th chapter of the same book, beginning at verse 1, he says, I charge you in the sight of God and of Christ Jesus, who shall judge the living and the dead, and by His appearing in His kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. So we find here that his lessons will be from the purest and most insightful source. They'll be from the Word of God. He is a student of God's Word. And that's what he'll be presenting. And therefore, we will be able to be filled with that knowledge of His will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And with that instruction, the apostle said, this would answer my prayer that you would walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. You see, once we get that insight, once we come to this understanding, once we are growing, maturing, developing, as the people of God, as children of God, as sons of God, then we'll be walking worthily with the Lord. We will know the Jesus of the song that we just sang. The last thing that I'd like for us to notice is that it presents us with an opportunity of fellowship. Back in Exodus, the 32nd chapter, we're going to read of an event that I think that probably a good number of you, if not all, are quite familiar with. But as you're turning there to read with me in that passage, Exodus chapter 32, I'll give you the verse here in just a second. Somewhere in not the too distant past, even the people of God have began to lose sight of the fellowship that is taught in the Scriptures. And thinking of the word fellowship as being something that is associated with our desires to eat and to drink and to have merriment and enjoy the company of other Christians, but, you know, you're doing it all among and with Christians, but, you know, have come with the idea that fellowship is eating and drinking. And there's nothing wrong with that, but there can be an abuse of it, or it even can be a distraction, like here in the 32nd chapter of Exodus at verse 6 when he says, "And they rose up early on the morrow and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings." And they're doing that to this idol that Aaron had made, because Moses is up in the mountain and they think something has happened to him, and, you know, they are without a leader. And so he says, you know, "Here's your God." And he presents this golden image, this golden idol as the God that brought them out of Egypt. And so, man, they fellowship, they worship that thing. They offer here burnt offerings and peace offerings, and the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. Now, I want you to understand that hospitality is admirable. It is something that the Lord reveals that we ought to be about, and the good things that come from it. Over in 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 8 and 9, he says, "Above all things, being fervent in your love among yourselves, for love covers a multitude of sins, using hospitality one to another without murmuring." And he speaks along the same lines there in Romans chapter 12. This idea of hospitality, that's great, it's wonderful, it's admirable. We find that it even helps meet sometimes the physical needs of saints, like over in the second chapter of the book of Acts, there in verses 44 through 46. But fellowship, as it's used in the Scriptures, is not used in connection with those things. And what we're saying is, well, let's just read some Scriptures and let them tell us a little bit about what we're saying, but then see, you know, the application for us. Over in Acts chapter 2, verse 42, he says, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' teaching and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and prayers." And so you see that in their fellowship, that they are remembering the Lord's death, as we have done this morning. They are taking part in the apostles' teaching, the instruction, and hearing what the apostles would reveal to them, and in praying. Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and there in verse 9, he says, "God is faithful, through whom you were called into the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord." Also there in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and 14, he reminds us there about that fellowship or participation in things that are not right, when he says, "Be not unequally yoked with unbelievers, for what fellowship have righteousness and iniquity, or what communion hath light with darkness?" And so He's talking there in relation to spiritual things. Now, the point then, let's get to over in John chapter 1, verse John chapter 1, pardon me, and there in verses 6 and 7. Now, to begin with, he says here at verse 3, we'll just read there first of all. He says, "That which we have seen and heard declare we also unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. Yea, and our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ." And so what is that fellowship then that he's calling on, that he talks about? God is faithful, for whom we were called into fellowship with His Son, Jesus Christ. And our fellowship is in things that are righteousness and things that are lawful, things that are proper, he says. Our fellowship is in those kinds of things. And then he says here, if we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in the darkness, we lie not and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of His Son, blood of Jesus His Son cleanses us from all sins. You see, what the week of June 11 through 14 is going to be presenting us an opportunity with is fellowship, like we saw in Acts chapter 2 and 42, with one another, with other fellow Christians, in the apostles' teaching, in the breaking of bread, in prayers. It's going to be a fellowship in which that we will come to a fullness of understanding and knowledge so that we can walk together with the Lord, so that we can be in fellowship with Him and walk in light and not in darkness, as He says. It will be a fellowship and a time of assembling together to worship and to praise God jointly and together, and with the promise that the Lord would be with us in such times and events such as that. So it's an opportunity of biblical fellowship. We can eat and we can have meals and we can do things like that out here in our homes or go to a restaurant or whatever, and we can do that and we can enjoy one another's company. But the spiritual fellowship that takes place with one another takes place in regards to spiritual matters. In things that either give us a proper insight, maybe a correction on things that are wrong, or a commendation on things that are right. It's looking at and examining not only the Word of God, but as it is reflective of the way that we are living and the way that we are thinking and the things that we believe. And that fellowship aids us in our fellowship with our Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. So that we might be in fellowship, joint participation, jointly together with them. So if you're not encouraged to come to the gospel meeting to set aside time, then we'll try again next week. If I can't do it after that, well, then I'll leave it up to Ron when he gets here. That's one of the reasons that I told the men that I like to begin on a Sunday with a gospel meeting. Back where I was for several years before coming here, we had a lot of gospel meetings, and we'd looked at these, and the elders and I would sit together, and we'd go over, you know, this what we viewed as the strengths and the weaknesses of that gospel meeting and how, you know, it reflected or how the congregation reflected the reception of, you know, that gospel meeting and such. And one of the things that we discovered, though, we started some on Friday nights and had some special sessions on Saturday and then went to Sunday and then, did some just during the week or something like that. And we found that the congregation had its best response, for whatever reason, when we began on Sunday, when we kind of kicked off on the Lord's Day, and all the Christians that are members of that church there are present. In fact, I've heard some people come on Sunday when we started on a Friday. They said, "Well, if I'd known that he was You know, that enjoyable preacher to listen to, I could have learned that much. I've been here Friday and Saturday. But they're afraid to show up on Friday night and then, you know, just bore them the tears or something like that. And then go, what am I going to do on Saturday? We've got to find some excuse not to go now. So just easier not to show up until Sunday. I don't know, you know, if that's it or not. But anyway, hopefully that's the congregation here. And if you're visitors that live in the area, we would encourage you to come and be a part of this opportunity as well. Realize we haven't really discussed things regarding Jesus' invitation to you. We would like to do that. If you have some questions about it, or if you'd like to know more, you'd like to know the Jesus that is revealed in the Scriptures, know my Jesus, we'd love to sit down with you and discuss those things. At this point, though, if you believe that He is the Christ, and you know that, and you understand that, and you have all confidence in it, and maybe you've even, you know, been trying to correct your life and do some things better, you know, look more to Him, repent, what, you know, is often referred to as far as a biblical word in respect to that type of action. And maybe you've even told some people, maybe you've even confessed that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. But have you been buried with Him in baptism, to raise with Him in newness of life? If you have not, then we would encourage you to consider that this morning, as you would make that good confession before people who would accept that and encourage you in it and aid you in your new birth in Jesus Christ. If you know that's where you are and that you'd like to accept this invitation at this time, we invite you to come. We encourage you to do so as we stand and sing.
God calling, yet shall I